So now, if you've just tuned in, you're here with me, Connie O'Reilly, on Ear FM. You can contact us here, of course, on 867 1190, or you can text right here into the studio at 0876 44500. And we're delighted to hear from you, as usual. Anything you want to tell us? Any events coming up? So, as I told you, lovely interview coming up now with three young people. And you know how we all like to hear what they're doing and encourage them, and if we can help them along the way. So I have with me Helena Riley. No, I have to say this, no relation, or they'll say she's having her relations in now. So who's the playwright? We have Clodagh Phelan, who's acting in the play. And we, now I'm going to say this wrong, Breed. Say it yourself, Breed, Mac.
Breed me, come on.
Breed me, come on. And you would fall across that. Now, this is about a play that Helena has written. So I'll introduce you now to Helena first. And just tell us the title now.
Hi, the play is called These Ties.
And it's about?
It's about two sisters who are who are having a bit of a rocky time in their relationship. And it's about one of them trying to get her sister back on track. So
typical sisters, is it?
Maybe.
I have no sisters. I'm just asking the question. Yeah.
There is definitely an element of typical sisterhood in there, but it might be a little bit extreme. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so interesting.
Good. Now, it's on. When's it starting, Helena?
It's starting tonight in the International Bar. It'll be on at 6:30 and doors open at 6:20. And we'll be on until Saturday. So every night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 6:30. And it'll be the International Bar, and it's These Ties.
And that's in, is it Wicklow Street?
Or it's on Wicklow Street.
Wicklow Street,
yes,
I was mixed up those streets. Wicklow Street. And you had a preview last night, had you?
Well, we actually kept it very small last night to keep all of our energy for today.
Yes, of course. Small rehearsal among yourselves, was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how'd it go? Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I think we were very happy with it. It's always going to be, every time we perform it, it's going to be different. But as long as we get that essence in there, then we're happy with it wherever it goes. That's the wonderful thing about doing theatre versus other versus film and other styles.
And have you experienced other?
Yeah, I've been doing drama since I was 9. I started off in the panto.
Did you really?
In Fermoy. So yeah, it was. I studied drama in university. I've done short films. I actually have a short film.
Have you?
And I've done animation.
Boast about it. Tell us.
Yeah, it's called After, and it was produced in 2013, and it's about a family trying to get over the death of their father. So, it's really. It was kind of my first foray into actually producing my own work after university, because it's very different. You have this kind of open audience. In fairness, there was a lot of support behind that film, and I got support from a lot of people like this.
Good.
It's amazing the. Amount of wonderful people who've been supporting These Ties and supporting us all individually.
I'd well believe it. And tell me, Helena, drama writing now, drama, plays, TV, is there a different challenge between writing TV stuff and radio stuff or play stuff?
Yes, there's definitely a different challenge. The writing speaks to you and it tells you what it is. So if there's a really strong sound element, and if you can imagine, if you can describe it, then it can turn into a radio play. And whereas theatre is very, it's very word based. There has to be, and there's kind of like if it's going to be in 500 different places, it can't be on theatre, not unless you have a very large budget. And then film is very, very visual. So the words are secondary to the visual in film. So it just depends what is kind of coming to you. I suppose that sounds very hippie, but
No, I can understand that. I wouldn't expect it to be the same at all. And what do you write about? Do you write about relationships, social issues? or fun, or do you just go on the planet and find something in your head?
I tend to just have an idea and then try and get the idea going. Maybe issues that I've had, or you know, or things that I think about it. If I can imagine it, I can write it. So I have been doing a little bit more sci-fi, but I keep getting drawn back to these kind of family dramas because there's always so much conflict in it, and it can seem small from the outside, but to these people, to me, my family is the world. Like,
yes,
I get on very well with them.
Good.
And it just,
I'm not surprised.
Whenever I imagine like something could happen to any of them, that every one of those inspires a little play in my head.
So it's, you know what they say, write about what you know. Do you believe that starting off, especially? Do you?
I would branch it out to write about what you can imagine. If you can imagine it, you can. It's a Michael Chekhov style.
All right.
Michael Chekhov was an actor practitioner, so he has a lot of advice for actors in his very old books. But that's, if you can imagine it, you can write it, and that's the fun thing. If you only wrote about what you knew, it might be
very
monotonous. That interesting.
Yes. Well, I doubt that now. People your age. What comes first, the plot, the theme, the character? What drifts into a writer's mind when you say, I must write something, I must do something? What triggers it?
I suppose it's the idea rather than the theme, the what if. What if you'd reacted differently to a situation? What if there's... like four people stuck in a room, you know, it's you kind of just throw yourself into the what if, and then you see what comes out.
They're the bones of it.
Yeah.
You take it from there.
Exactly.
And what are people going to love about this play, These Ties, that's on tonight in the International Bar?
What I hope they'll love in These Ties is the sister relationship and how I suppose it goes back to that family thing of you kind of revert back to what you were like when you were younger. You know, it doesn't matter how old you get, you still have that connection that you've had since you were small, and I hope that's what I would really love to capture in the performance. So.
And now, after putting all that blood, sweat and tears into writing, is it easier to go up on the stage and do the role yourself, or hand it over to somebody now like Clodagh? What's the conflict? Is there any there?
Well, to be honest, I would say it's always easier to hand things over to other people. It's not necessary, or, well, I find it easier because you kind of have that the feeling of, well, maybe I can't do it, we're actually both acting in it, so at the start it was easier to do it myself, and now it's there's a lot more of a challenge.
Of course there is, yes. Yeah. And where did this all start? Like at home, theatre, books? Or did you come from that kind of a background, family who are interested in the arts as such?
I suppose my family are quite interested in the arts, and performance and music. One of my uncles was in the is in the Cor Coolay, and we've been performing since we were young, but I suppose I started performing when I was in pantomime in Fermoy. My family will tell you otherwise. I've been performing since I was about four or younger. I've been singing for every guest that comes to that came to the house, so
oh, well then,
it was Lena. In the blood.
Oh well, no bother to you. So now, when you're writing, do you set a time aside or wait until the muse comes to you? Or what discipline do you need to write?
The best thing I find is that if I give myself a section in the morning to write, and then when it gets to the then I just leave it for the rest of the day until it comes to the evening. So maybe like an hour or 2 hours in the morning, if you can take the time, or even 20 minutes. And then when it comes to the evening, I find that the juices flow a lot better. So maybe 7 or 8 o'clock, I'll go again, and I'll sit down and I'll write, and I could write until 2 o'clock in the morning if I'm feeling inspired, or I might write until 12, or, you know, half an hour, just whatever.
But there's discipline. There has to be a lot of discipline.
If you want to finish anything, there's got to be discipline. Yeah. It's easy to start things.
Now, not only this play, These Tides that's on tonight, your material, are you a great observer of life? Do you take notes? We hear little snippets of conversation and observe, and it's not buses or that kind of thing.
I do take notes, but then sometimes last week I saw a scene, and it was a guy standing up in his window with a towel on, and
interesting,
and a guy fully dressed down at his door talking up at him. Mm-hmm. It's like, that could literally be anything. That could be Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
That could be
plot. There's a plot there somewhere.
Yeah. So it's
just takes imagination to bring it to that. Well, that's what I thought. Now you would get a lot of information observing life. Now, do you think that there are a lot of current young playwriters out there and they're not getting the attention they deserve?
Absolutely. There is a lot of. I studied creative writing in Belfast, and there's a. I've met a lot of playwrights, and it's very, like, if you have I'm very lucky that I have that other experience, and that I can go in and say, I'm going to make this, I'm going to get people together and make this. But not everyone has that, and they can be wonderful words, but if you can't get it up on stage, it's very hard to get anywhere. And otherwise, it's just these kind of endless competitions, that can be brilliant. And I've had some very nice feedback recently from one of those competitions. I was shortlisted for Abby Begins. I didn't get it, but I was so happy to get that feedback.
Yes.
It is very hard.
It's hard to get to a wider audience, is it?
It's very hard to get to a wider audience. And I suppose there's more stuff coming out now. There's more of these kind of events, but there hasn't been for quite a number of years.
Right.
So it's really after the recession, it was one of the first things hit.
Now, after all that, you've it all written up, your lovely play. Do you focus then on getting a good director or an actress? Where do you go after that? What do you think can bring you? I've written that now. Do I look for a good producer, good director, good actresses?
It just depends who you are.
Like the two girls you have beside you here. Yes.
It happened this
Breed.
Time was that I met Clodagh. We were working together. And I just... the energy she had and the way we got on, I thought...
We
can work together, and you can play this role. Like, and so we had been talking about it, and I'd been kind of like, well, you know, maybe we could do this. And then sometime in January I said, okay, now it's time. We've got to do it. Like, otherwise it won't happen. And then she actually brought Breed on board.
They went
to college together.
Ah, that's lovely. That's great support and confidence building, that you understand each other, don't you? And, how do you know when, I always ask an author this, how do you know when a book is finished, a play is finished? When do you say that's enough? I'm not going to ramble on for another 4 pages, you know?
Every time you look at it, every time you finish a draft, you say, oh, this is over. And every time you go back to the draft...
It's not over.
But at a certain point, you just have to say, look, am I going to make this worse if I go at it again? And that's when I know it's over, or when it's finished.
So it's instinctive, is it?
Yeah.
You've said your say and you've put
If I need to, do I need to completely change the story to do the next rewrite? And if the answer is yes, and if I think the structure is in place, that's what I have been learning a lot. That's what I learned a lot of about in my master's, about structure.
Structure.
If that structure is in place, then really, what am I waiting for?
Now, how do you then? What do you do then? Do you take it out to groups to workshop it? Do you send it to your colleagues, your friends that you trust that would give you fair criticism?
Yeah, I tend to send it to my friends and people from my course for criticism, and this came back maybe two or three times. I ask them what they got from it, because some people like to say, oh, this is a summary of whatever, but to me it's much more interesting to see what they've taken from it, because if they've some things are acceptable that they've taken it from it, and that's fine, and then there's other things where you're going, oh, that's, I'd really prefer if people didn't come away with that idea.
Yes.
And then you have to go back and you've got to rework it, and it could just be a little thread of putting a piece of information in page 2, page 16 and page 30.
A little tweak here and
there. Just to
put it out there and see how people react. Is there such a thing, a service that you can send your play off to in Dublin, say, that you can get it read professionally? Or
I know that there are... yes, there is, of course. The Abbey run...
do they do that still?
They do. They have right. one, and it's a fantastic service because it's free.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it takes... It takes a little while. That's the issue. And you do have to make sure that you have your play in the right format, which can be quite difficult. The formatting, even a lot of writers I know find formatting to be very difficult. And there's a difference between BBC formatting, which is what is generally accepted here, and American formatting. And so you can be getting this stuff.
So you've put a lot of work into it.
Formatting is its own entire thing.
For professional reading, I could well believe that. And before I move off now to Clodagh, who's the boss, the writer or the director? I'll be asking you the same thing.
I think it depends how much you trust each other.
Right.
I would say Breed is the boss.
Breed is the boss. Yeah. Breed. Looking forward to hearing how you do this. Yes.
So, she's the one I've been really... I really trust her, and so I've been able to just say, okay, you're the one who can see the bigger picture, you're the one who knows what's going on. I can't see it from the outside.
And you're subjective. She's subjective.
Yeah. And it's she's. Mm. I think she's been doing a wonderful job.
No, you can take a bow. Well, that's a great overall picture. Thank you very much, Helena. Clodagh.
Hello.
I have a daughter-in-law called Clodagh. Now, tell me about you. What have you been doing in the theatre world before this now?
So I studied drama in college and I graduated in 2017. I studied in DIT, Conservatory of Music, it's a three-year degree. Myself and Breed were in the same year. So that was a drama performance-based degree. But since then I've been actually going down more the road of screen acting to camera, and doing short films, and also I was involved in a podcast then last year that Breed actually wrote alongside one of our other friends, Ella. It was a fictional podcast called Prospect 57, so that was very interesting to be involved in that. So doing a bit of voice work, a bit of screen acting. So this now, actually, These Ties is my first theatre performance since college, which is exciting. But as Helena mentioned, I met her only in November. We were working together and she approached me with the idea. She sent me the script. It sounded very interesting. And from there, we just began working on it the start of February. So okay. I kind of had 8 weeks working on it. And now opening it tonight.
Well, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And are you playing the good sister or the bad sister? Just such a thing.
Well, it's an interesting way of looking at it. Yeah. I mean, I play the younger sister. So I'm playing Emily. And Helena plays Louise, who's my older sister by 3 years. The story of it is basically Louise feels that myself, Emily, that I'm in a bad situation with my current relationship, and she wants that relationship to end, but she goes about it in a very interesting way. She goes to quite a new level to try and end it, without giving away too much.
Indeed. So intrigued there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the biggest challenge now for you as an actress up on that stage now tonight? What would be your biggest?
I suppose just making sure to have the right energy for it.
Energy.
It's only a short piece. It's only half an hour long. So it's just about kind of giving it your all for that half an hour. But also without rushing it, bringing the energy, but without rushing it.
Rushing it, I guess.
Yeah.
And now, without giving away the plot, as we say, what's your favourite line or dialogue from it in a sentence or two? Where's the punch?
Well,
do you have a punchline?
I don't know so much a punchline. I've a lot of sighing and rolling my eyes at Louise. There's a lot of that.
Diva, in other words. Yes.
Diva, but for a good reason.
A good diva.
Just the situation that Louise puts me in is so ridiculous.
That's true.
So there is a lot of eye rolling and a lot of, oh, Louise, what
yes.
are you doing?
Conversational
yeah.
stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Claudia, what makes a good stage partner?
A good stage partner. Mm. Well, I think the most important thing when you're acting with someone, especially when there's only two of you, because it's a small cast, it's important to get on well, to trust each other, and also probably the most important thing is to listen to each other, both on stage and off stage. If you're listening to the other actor, then you're putting all your focus on them. And your reactions to them are going to come across natural, because as long as you're listening, then your response is going to be genuine.
Now, would any, maybe not you personally, we won't make it too personal, this is you, but do you say actor or actress today? What's the proper word?
I say actor.
Actress, that's commonly used, and I thought so, yeah.
But I think either or.
Either or, says you.
Yeah.
Well, does the said actor ever have a say and say, no, I think that would be, I should stand there, I should move over here? Is that kind of flexibility
on
the stage?
Yeah, it completely depends. I mean, with this production in particular, it's been quite a collaborative production. Obviously, Breed is the director, but we've all been involved in having our say, giving our opinion, trying out different things. Breed has been flexible and is always open to ideas, because obviously we're quite close. We've worked together before in college for 3 years. Helena is the writer, so of course Breed isn't going to completely say, well, I'm the director, this is mine now. She hasn't done that at all, which some directors
yet.
Could.
Yet.
Too late now.
Yet.
So yeah, it's a very collaborative
thing.
Based,
Now, from your experience, what's the difference between working with a female cast and a male or mixed cast? You know, is there a difference? Dynamics.
I don't know if there's a huge difference. I think it's more so to do with the size of the cast rather than the gender of the cast. So obviously, it's very different working with just one other actor as opposed to a larger cast, a larger ensemble kind of. It's been nice kind of just working the two of us, because there's plenty of focus and you've plenty of time kind of one-on-one with the director as well, which is nice.
And how hard is it, Claudia, now to get work out there? The competition, I'm sure, is huge. And what brings you there? Is it experience or networking, contacts? Who you know?
Yeah,
which
I
is
suppose
very
a lot
helpful
of it,
to you.
Yeah, networking. I suppose in the acting community, it would be a lot about I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch mine. So, you know, if you are putting on a piece, if you've written a piece and you're holding auditions, you should make sure to audition people that you know could be working on their own piece, and then they will probably ask you to audition. Likewise, in terms of supporting each other, it's important to support the arts and buy tickets for other shows, because if you buy tickets for their shows, they'll come and see your show. It kind of works like that. Yeah.
And when you go on stage now, curtain, just, I always wonder this, just before that curtain goes up, what's your last thought? Is it fear, panic? Will I remember my lines? Will I pray? What will I do?
I think nerves can be good. Mm-hmm. Nerves contribute to a good energy. Not too many nerves, but I think, yeah, nerves in general do give you that kind of adrenaline rush. And it's just important to stay focused. Concentration is the main thing. Don't be thinking about who's out in the crowd. Just focus on what you're doing and what the other actor is doing. And that's the main thing.
That works.
Yeah.
Of course it does. So what are you going to do next? Have you something lined up now after this?
I've nothing lined up yet. I'll hopefully get more into the screen acting again, do short films and stuff, just building up a showreel to send off, and then hopefully get some paid work, because a lot of the screen acting at the moment in the film world is there's a lot of unpaid stuff out there.
Really?
You have to do unpaid stuff first to get your showreel, to build up a bit of a reputation, get material that you can then send on to casting directors in order to hopefully get paid roles. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And now at the level starting off, is it does it get more competitive, more, we won't say nasty, but you know what I mean, out there, as people get more experience, do they become a closed shop? Is it easy to try and to is it hard to get in there with established, very established?
I suppose it's tough. I mean, yeah, it's, there's a lot of people out there trying to do the same thing, but personally, if you're going for a role and you don't get it, I think it's important just not to take it to heart, not to take it too personally, because there's thousands and thousands of people going for the same role. It's all just down to luck in a way.
At the end, yes.
Because there's so many people doing the same thing. So just as long as you don't take it personally and can handle
rejection.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Very interesting. I think you'll be a great actress. I really
you.
Do, Claudia. Now, we come to the real boss, do we? The director.
As they say.
As they say, Breed. Tell me first, the difference between a director and producer.
Well, I suppose on this particular project, I'm probably doing both roles, which is not the ideal situation, where a director is in the room, crafting the piece in rehearsals every day with the actors. The producer's job is more marketing, organising, liaising between the public and the director and anything that kind of falls into that category. So in this particular production, because we didn't have much of a budget and it's a smaller production, I took on both roles, which was fine. But in a bigger production, there's just no way that a director and a producer could be the one person. So, but as regards this,
you think it's manageable.
It was manageable.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, the wonderful world of production. Why did you want to go that end, production and directing?
Well, I had previously directed a piece that I had written last year for the Smock Alley's Seen and Heard Festival. I had written a piece and directed it myself. And so then when Helena had approached Clodagh about these ties and asked, did she know anyone who might be interested in directing, Clodagh suggested me. So that's how I got involved in the project. It's something I enjoy doing. It's maybe not even what I would be most focused on, but it's definitely, having come from an actor's training background, it's something that I have a good understanding of, how to make theatre, how to devise and create, you know, a cohesive piece. And so it's something that I felt confident enough that I could do, even if it's not maybe my main passion.
And so you have been on the stage acting yourself. You did
I trained as an actor for 3 years in the Conservatory of Music and Drama with Clodagh. We were in the same year in DIT.
And do you think it's necessary, like, to start writing? What kind of a seamless line to get now to? You need experience. You don't need experience of writing, do you? You do need to be able to kind of write.
In order to be a director? What I think is less as... it's less needing any of it, but any extra skills you have in this industry are welcome. So if you can write, you can direct, and you can act, you have, you know, makeup skills, you have costume making skills, that's another string to the bow that's going to be invaluable to you in, like Clodagh was saying, networking. So you do someone's costume for one show and then you tell them you're an actor, maybe they get you into audition for their next show they're doing. It's all that kind of, you've got to have a few finger in every pie, as they say.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to me, Conny O'Reilly, here on Near FM, Music and Musings. I'm interviewing three girls here who have production going out tonight. It's called These Ties. And we have the writer, the actress and the director. And it's in 6:30 tonight in the International Bar. So we're just having a little insight into that world, because you know, it's a lot, it's all behind the scenes theatre. So I'm talking now with Breed, who's the director, and How do you build a good team around you, Breed, as a producer, you know? Director,
well, this instance it was kind of unique because the team kind of, I was actually the last addition to the team, but I think what Helena had spoken about trust earlier, and what we did was when I was initially asked to come in and join the project, myself and Helena met for a coffee and a chat, and we chatted about the script and we chatted about the idea, and I chatted to her about her vision and she chatted to me about mine, and from there, like from that initial meeting, knowing that we were both interested in a kind of collaborative yes. room, that we were both interested in the dynamic between the sisters, it being about them more than the circumstances that they're in, it being about their relationship, because we had that from the off, we decided that together, we talked about it, everything kind of fell into place from there.
And as a director now, with different casts, a bigger cast, does a director have to change their style of directing to suit different team members, a team member, writer, so, actress?
For me,
or are you strictly the boss? Protocol is I'm the boss, is it?
My protocol is never I'm the boss.
Good.
I've only, this would be my third directing kind of credit. I previously directed, co-directed our radio drama that myself and my Nkoda's friend Ella wrote, Prospect 57, and we have a little production company called Queer Moon Productions. So we wrote the podcast and we directed it and cast it ourselves. That was quite a large cast, but of course with a podcast or a radio drama, the directing process is very different,
because
you know, it's not live, it's not sculpting and then a live performance. It's, you can be coaching you can change a line while somebody's sitting there with the mic in front of them, so that's very different. And despite having a large cast, it's still kind of one-on-one. And then the show that I directed last year in Seen and Heard, which I had written myself, was also a two-hander, so I've never directed a large cast.
Right. We have a very good drama group here near FM indeed, and we work closely with a local drama group.
Oh really?
Yes, great local group we have here, and they work along with us very closely, and that's the Riverside Drama Circle just up the road. And but it works like that. It's teamwork and respect, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and of course, yeah. Like there are moments when you make a call, because like the girls have said, like I have the bird's eye view, so if I was on stage, there's things that I would miss as well. As an actor, I know that you can't always see the full production. That's why the director, you kind of have to take their word for it sometimes, because they're sitting back and they can see everything that's going on. But I would tend to try and be as collaborative as possible. If the girls had suggestions or if something wasn't working for them or they had an idea, I would always go with that, because it was always our piece that we were working towards together. And then every once in a while you make a call.
Publicity. Is it difficult to get publicity?
It can be, yeah. It can be difficult. It's a lot of self-promotion. It's getting the word out. It's making a Facebook event and plugging on it constantly, wrecking everybody's heads on Facebook, Instagram, asking your friends to share. And we're very lucky that you guys have taken us on have a chat
it's
about the
pleasure.
Show. Great. You can't.
That's why we are a community radio station.
Yeah, you're
totally community based community station.
A radio station, and you're supporting.
We are
artists in the
artists.
Community, and that's amazing. And we're very lucky,
especially young people. We love to give publicity to young people. Do you find that it's effective now to use, say, that, you know, these papers, the Northside People, the Southside People, parish bulletins, libraries?
I think so.
Do you target that?
Not having a budget on this or not, not having a producer, probably.
Yes.
Having been directing and the girls are acting and I'm trying to produce in the end, perhaps I didn't have as much scope to
widen it out.
To widen it out, yeah. As much. But if we had, had someone to come and help
to
the
do
produce,
that
would
yes.
have been definitely an alley we would have gone down, because
yeah.
then you're reaching community audiences.
You are.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're the ones who go to the theatre.
Exactly.
And there's a source there that always surprised me, that is not used more, and that's the senior citizens groups. Now, you have to give them a discount, of course. We want €5 off everything,
of course,
you know. But if you give us €5 off everything, but like, we're always open to going to these kind of theatres and shows, and we just love that. And, you know, the going group, you know, you go, you might get 10, 12, 15 of them. And it's a great way of filling up. People starting off use them a lot. Not as much as I think they should. Maybe they're not aware of it, because we like to know what's going on with cancer teams, as you all the time. So I just often wonder why they're not more used, but maybe just somebody will think about it sometime. Now, Breed, last thing. In a dispute, now, is it how do you handle a dispute? Do you just have it out of the person, or do you seek wiser counsel?
Do you mean as a director?
Yes.
I suppose my main way of working would to try not to have the disputes mm-hmm. in the first place. I always would prefer that the actors in the room feel that they can talk to me if they need to, and that I'm an open and kind of malleable director, mm-hmm. that I'm flexible, I suppose.
Yes.
That I'm open to hearing how you're feeling and what you need. And I would always hope that rather than having a dispute, that it would just be a conversation.
And sort it out. At source.
And yeah, mm-hmm. and if there's issues, that you would always try and work out a solution that is good for everybody, with understanding, patience and all that. Because I don't think, probably as an actor, that's how I would run a rehearsal room. But as an actor, I know that's not how everyone runs a rehearsal room. And having been in training and having worked, and I have friends who've had bad experiences with directors. Mm. As an actor, you would always want your actors, when you're directing them, to feel safe and to feel listened to.
Yes, that's the word, isn't it? Listened to.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
And respect. So, briefly, where to now from you after this? What are you doing next?
We're going to... Oh, sorry, I thought you meant today.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going back to do a run and then we're opening. No, for me, I'm working on an idea for a script at the moment. So
for theatre?
For theatre, yeah.
Good.
But we'll have to get this week over with, and then I can,
focus
faces
on that.
And ideas, and then I'll start trying to formulate something fully once we're done with the show.
Well, do you know what, girls? I'm deeply impressed with your professionalism. Really, you leave me breathless. The training and background that has gone into it. And one of the last things I'll ask you is, do you need elocution lessons? Is it good for an actor to go and have lessons for different accents, or is that kind of training necessary, or is it an innate thing that comes to people who have the talent to act?
I'm not someone who believes that being an actor is much to do with talent. I think you need to have some sort of skill there,
yes.
Some sort of raw energy maybe in place. But personally, I believe if you're willing to put in the time and effort that it takes to study and to read and to put yourself out there and to stretch your skills, like, that's what it really takes. It takes about 10% talent and 90% hard work.
Yes, like most successes, as
exactly.
You. Now, Helena, seeing you've written it, what do you want to tell us? What do you want to tell us? Conclude with.
Well, I hope
it's on tonight.
It's on tonight.
Tomorrow night.
These Ties is on tonight in the International Bar on Wicklow Street. It'll be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So starting tonight at 6:30, and it'll be about 30 minutes, and the doors open at 6:20. And we're really lucky. We're very happy that tonight is almost sold out. Saturday night is sold out.
Oh,
so
that's great.
We're really delighted with that, and we're hoping that a few more people will
after
be
hearing
able
about
to,
it, yeah. Social media
and
all
thank
that.
Thank you so much for having us on here.
Oh,
yeah, we really appreciate it.
Oh, it was our pleasure here in Near FM. The door is always open. Mm-hmm. Anything you're doing, come in and let us know about it. And we'll put it out there for you. And we'll do a podcast and put it up on our website here in Near FM. And we'll send you a direct link yourself, then you may use it as you wish.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
So, just to say it again, These Ties, the name of it.
Tonight.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6:30, the International Bar.
Well, I can only wish you the best of luck, girls. You've been terrific. Thank you very, very much for coming in.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.